This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I'm back, and you're back, and it's so good to be here. Today's going to be a really, really, really interesting show because I'm almost in tears already. We have spent the whole day, my daughter and I, her name is Tiana, she's 26 years old, and we've spent the whole day almost today, besides my garage selling and buying a new walker I'm so excited about, talking about the show, and she asked if she could interview me. And I just have to tell you how vulnerable I feel to have my daughter interview me on this show today. It's just amazing. Just the communication and the dialect that we've had today, the dialogue, I should say, has been just so amazing. So I'm going to introduce her to you. Her name is Tiana Freeze, and she has been a lifetime student. She's seeking after truth and love. She received a full-ride academic scholarship to Long Beach State, where she completed a bachelor's degree in art. She moved to Italy for a year to find herself and heal from some trials and deep-rooted pains in her life, which I'm going to ask her about in a few minutes. Ironically, she came back with a whole new set of problems and realized there must be a better solution. The last place on earth that she wanted to go was back to her hometown of Simi Valley, but she believed God had plans for her to establish roots there. She started Bible college and learned that the Bible had answers to the questions she had been desperately seeking. Learning that God was sovereign and that her heart was wicked and deceitful changed her life. She is now finishing a master's degree in biblical counseling so she can encourage others that hope is found in nothing less than the Savior and Redeemer Jesus Christ, who meets our greatest need. We're having some engineering problems right now and trying to get her hooked up. So, this show is about pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And pursuit, just the word pursuit, is an amazing thing because we are to pursue all the time. God wants us to pursue Him. He wants us to pursue others. And that's what relationships are all about, is pursuing. And then to talk about passion, you know, life without passion is not much of a life. Purpose, God created all of us for a purpose. And seeking that purpose and pursuing that purpose is what helps us with connection. So I really can't wait for her to get on the show with us. In the meantime, I'm going to give you our phone number. It's 888-995-5552. So if you want to call in regarding this, phone number is 888-995-5552. 5552. Tiana, are you on?
Mom?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
You just don't have a headset.
Okay.
You can't hear me.
That's okay.
Okay, that's okay. Okay, so Tiana, I have a question for you.
Yes.
The first question is, you know, I am your mother. And that's not a question. I understand I'm your mother. But the thing is that I'm reading your biography and it says that that you wanted to heal from some of the trials and deep-rooted pains in her life. And I have a feeling that I want to know, what were those deep-rooted pains in your life?
I grew up believing that, like I believe a lot of other people that I've interacted with, they've believed the same thing, that somehow that your nurturing growing up affects you so much to the extent that you're damaged in some way if you don't grow up in a perfect environment. And I was believing that since... there were just struggles and trials in our family and unforgiveness going on. I knew that there was something wrong, and I believed that somehow, some way I could figure out the solution inside of me, so that the problem was outside and I needed to go away. And if I could think about it enough, read enough self-help books about finding out who I am, that somehow, some way I could come up with some of the solutions to the pains that were going on in my life. And I grew up believing too that somehow an unhappy marriage was the hardest thing. That was what I saw. And so I figured that if I had a happy marriage, that would be the solution to all my problems, because then everything would be solved. And so I intended to look for somebody, some guy that came from a perfect background, because I believed somehow that that would guarantee a successful future for myself. And obviously that didn't work out. So I was going to Italy just to heal from all of those things and to figure things out.
Right. And that was an amazing experience. I went over there twice to see you, and I saw you over there, and you had some issues that you had to deal with over there. That is for sure. The other thing that I read from your biography was your heart was wicked and deceitful. I mean, you are precious in my sight. And for you to say that your heart is wicked and deceitful, I'm like, what are you talking about? So can you explain that?
Yes. I always thought that if I wasn't as bad as other people, then somehow I was good. And somehow if I wasn't out partying with everybody or doing all the bad things, that somehow I was a good person. And the most deceptive thing was that everybody else was telling me that I was a good person, because I had a lot of achievements, and somehow, some way, I'd put my identity and my worth in these achievements. And when I went to Bible college, and just the passage in Jeremiah 17 that says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways." And learning about that all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God just completely changed my worldview. And I started seeing things from a completely different perspective. And it started to make sense why there was so much inner turmoil going on in me. And some of that had to do with unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is so deep-rooted, so deep-rooted. And I thought that it had to do with, other people in our family not forgiving one another, not having grace with one another. But what God revealed to me was that I had unforgiveness in my heart. And I heard a good quote once that said, "Unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping it will kill someone else."
Oh, wow.
And it started just to rot me.
Let me ask you a question, Tiana. Mm-hmm. Did you feel loved at home?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds really good. Yeah. I mean, I can't fix everything, but I'd like to know. I'd like to just believe that.
I was very loved.
Okay.
Well, that's very loved.
But we do the best we can as parents. But even it's just amazing how no matter how well we do, there's still issues that come up, and it's God's way, and we'll talk more about that. It's God's way of figuring out, helping us figure out through our turmoils and trials and tribulations, how we can get healed and better and pursuing Him. Because that's what it's about, is all of these things that happened caused you to pursue Him and the truth, right? You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And so, Tiana, you had asked to interview me.
Yes.
And so, like I said before, this is very vulnerable for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I just got to ask you a couple questions, because, it's funny. Our family is together, and I just wish, TV would go away forever, because I think that we just need to communicate more. And I've just really, really, Tiana, from the bottom of my heart, I've really enjoyed this time together. Mm-hmm. It's been great.
I have two.
Okay,
have two.
Well, good. Good. So go ahead. Ah!
Okay. So I was there when you actually got bucked off your horse, and I had no idea just how serious it was and everything. But initially when that happened, when you fell off and you were taken to the hospital, what were some of your initial concerns?
You weren't there when I got bucked off, honey. You weren't there. I was all alone. But you were there shortly after. But when I got bucked off, all I could think about was, well, where's the horse? Number one. Number two, I looked down at my leg and saw that it was not straight and that it was not all right. I knew I had messed up my knee somehow. I didn't know exactly what had happened. I just knew that my knee wasn't right. And I was upset because it's the second time this horse has bucked me off, and I was mad at myself for that. Some of the other things that were happening, though, is I was thinking, okay, this is inconvenient. Okay, I am injured. Okay, let's get me to the hospital. Let's put my knee back together again. I have a show in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And it was on a Saturday, and I was thinking, I got to get to my show. I got to get to my show. Okay, come on, you guys. Get it together. I got to get to my show. Mm-hmm. So I was still on this. I've got my plans. I've still, you know, I've got my planner, and I've got all this stuff going, and that's all I could think about was, you know, come on, let's go. Get her done.
Yeah. And getting the phone call or the voicemail from you, I was thinking along the same lines. I was thinking, okay, I need to get all of her truck in order to take her to the radio show because she probably won't be able to drive. And I was thinking along the same lines, knowing you very
right.
well, knowing
right.
that these were the thoughts that I need to be thinking in order to honor you as my mother.
Right. But you didn't know exactly the extent.
I had
nor
no
did
idea.
I. Nor did I. Right.
No idea. And so after your surgery, when you woke up, what were some of the new fears that you had?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that before I went into surgery, I was worried about, you know, I have this thing about going under anesthesia and not waking up. And so it was really, really super important that I be able to say goodbye to my family and to tell them how much I loved them. I didn't have the opportunity to do that because of the time that it was happening and whatnot. And so I was worried about that. And the beautiful nurse that came to my aid, I said, look, I said, you know, I want to wake up. Make sure I wake up. She goes, well, believe me, I want you to wake up. So that was one thing. And then when I woke up, I was so groggy. I just wanted to stay asleep. It was just the most awesome sleep. But then when I woke up and the doctor actually came in and started talking to me about my leg and about the recovery, I still think I was in shock, and I still think that I really didn't grasp what this all involved. And still to this day, it's almost 3 months. I'm going on, well, not 3 months, 9 weeks. But I still don't get the grasp of it. I had to get my head around the idea that I'm not going to walk for 4 months. Okay, wait, say that again. I'm not going to walk for 4 months. Talk about changing my world. And I have to say that going back when I, you know, lessons learned or whatnot, I was thinking about this on the way in, is that when I was going to get on that horse, I was thinking, I had just met a horse trainer the night before at a ministry dinner. And I met this guy that was going to come over that morning and train the horse with me or check the horse out. And I decided, nah. I'm just going to do it on my own. I'm just going to go on my own, and I'm just going to do my own thing. And I could have taken my girlfriend next door, who knows a lot more about horses than I do, could have done that too, but I didn't. I went on my own. And I was thinking about that on the drive here in town. I was saying, what do you think about Mom? And it was like we were right gelling together on what we were thinking. And just the independence is the word she came up with. Mine was, you know, sometimes I think we just put Jesus on the back. We put him on the back burner and say, I can handle this one on my own. And that's kind of what I did. Not Jesus, you know, to the side. It's just, I can handle this because I've become very independent in just my day-to-day living. And I don't think God wants me to be like that. I think he wants me to surround myself and to be with him. And I think this has forced that on me, whether I like it or not. And I think that's one of the lessons that came about. But just in the hospital bed, looking down at my leg, fully iced and packaged up and being on drugs, lots of them, I just laid there. And then later, you know, coming home, it was like 3 days I was in the hospital, and then I was coming home. And the only time I could get out of bed was to go to the bathroom. Now, this is a girl, just to give you a picture of busyness, is this is a woman who is up at 4 and goes nonstop till 10 o'clock at night. And her calendar is full from minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day. I mean, it's full for 2 weeks, 3 weeks out. So to go from that type of calendar to, gee, let's get up from bed, let's go to the bathroom, hooray, she made it, to, oh, I'm going to go to the couch, gee, I'll lay there all day and take a nap, get up, go to the bathroom, go back to the couch and go to the bathroom, and, you know, and then go to bed. That's an amazing change of lifestyle. And to have to depend on people to wait on me was, and ask for help is huge. So what was this like for you, Tiana?
I can definitely relate to having my own agenda. I was on my way out of the house. I was moving out and I already had a place set up. Everything's packed up. And then this happens. And it was a shocker. And everything kind of just stopped. And just a verse in Proverbs that articulates this so well is Proverbs 16:9, which says, "The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And it's such a reality check that we can go on our own agenda and we can continue to pursue all of these things that we desire, but the counsel of the Lord stands. And a lot of times his ways, I mean, all the time, his ways are so much higher than ours, and we don't understand the ins and outs of why he does what he chooses to do or why he allows certain things in our lives. But we have to also recognize that he knows better than we do what is best for us. And so my agenda completely changed because I wasn't going anywhere.
Right. And I'm so glad you made that choice. That wasn't something you discussed with me. That's something that you decided on your own. Mm-hmm. And thank you for that. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And I'm talking to my daughter, Tiana, and she wanted to interview me about lessons learned. And I think just in our conversation, we are learning a lot more just in communicating and talking about our feelings and our thoughts and lessons learned. I mean, she asked me this question, you know, what are the lessons learned? And I'm like, wow, there's so many, but yet how do you put them in words? There's little victories in this big journey that we're on. And it's not just my journey. Mm-hmm. It's just not my victories. It's everyone that is connected to me anywhere from my workplace, my employees, they're having to pick up the slack and they're having to do more. At home, they're definitely doing more. I can't even pick up a load of laundry. Just picture that, wives and mothers. It's difficult. I can't. It's amazing to me.
What are some of the things you've come to be thankful for?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit humorous here, but okay, I have a foot that's far away from where I can get to it. And so one thing I'm very thankful for is I needed a sock on my foot because there was no blood circulating through my leg. And so I had a occupational therapist come to my house because my physical therapist said I needed to have one come to the house. And she showed me this tool that you put a sock on the plastic thing, you put it over your toes that has this long stretched thing. So it's an extension of your hands, goes over your toes, and then you pull it on and your sock is on your foot. And so I didn't have to have somebody putting on and off my sock. So, you know, that is just a little thing that I've learned. Lessons I've learned is how to ask for help. Also, just how my body, just appreciation of every body part on my body. You know, there's that 20-80 rule where 20% do 80% of the work. And what I mean by that is if you looked at my hands right now, you would see calluses on my palms and you would see black and blue on my palms. And every time I think about having to walk somewhere, my hands hurt. Not my feet, my hands. And the reason is because my hands are taking over a position they weren't created to take because they are now in place of my feet. I have to, you know, push on the walker with my hands. And yeah, my upper body is getting a little bit stronger and I'm atrophying in my leg. So it's just amazing in that scripture about, you know, every body part has a place in the body. That is so true.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. I think that both of us have, I think that's such a great illustration for how when we do try to even take sometimes God's role in our lives of directing our lives and being the Lord of our own lives, it doesn't work as well. And it's because we're functioning outside of what we were designed for, which is complete dependence upon our Creator. And when we are functioning independently also of the body of Christ that God has provided for us to bear one another's burdens, love one another, and to serve one another, we are also, we may think that we're getting ahead, but the reality is we are hindering ourselves and the rest of the body of Christ around us. And just the illustration of your hands hurting so badly because they're serving as your feet.
Right.
In a sense, to hold onto your walker and everything. And
right.
I just feel like that's such a great illustration. That's such a vivid thing for us to remember every time we start operating that way again.
Another part of that that just came to mind is the gifts, you know, working within our gifts. And if we work outside our gifts, we can do it for a time, but we should work within our gifts. And the other part of that, Tiana, that just came to mind was the blessing that our family received, and you were in charge of orchestrating this, was meals. You know, you can take meals for granted, but when you have somebody that's just waiting on you hand and foot, and yeah, I was sleeping, but I still needed things. You know, I couldn't get a cup of coffee. I needed a blanket, you know. So we had people coming for an entire month, maybe even 2 months. I think it was a month, but food. And it was lunch and dinner every single day. And these are people that came to the house. They stopped what they were doing. They, you know, they have busy schedules. I'm sure they had plenty of things to do. But they took the time. And half the time, they didn't even just drop off the food, but they would come in just to check in. I met my neighbors I've never met before, and they live around the corner. I've never met them before. And they were gracious and kind enough to come over. And I need everybody's recipes because their food was so good. It was so good. It tasted so good. You know how other people's food just always tastes better than your own. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that was another one, is where the body works together and that we depend on one another. And this is just one more illustration how the body of Christ comes together to feed. I mean, if you think about just the basics of life, the basics of me being able to take a shower. Oh my gosh, my first shower was so exciting. And every shower, I appreciate my shower so much.
And I think it's amazing how even sharing meals together is not necessarily common for our family, who just each one of us operates as our own individual island.
Right,
you know,
right.
Independent of one another, and having to eat together was something that was very healing in a lot of ways. And I remember one, you know, right at the beginning of all of this, I woke up very devastated, very, very devastated, because nothing in my circumstances was offering me any hope or anything that I could really find refuge in or any joy in. And I asked for prayer from people that know me and who I knew would be committed to praying for me. And one woman in particular told me, you need to go serve someone, because I told her I was really feeling depressed. And that is probably the least common thing for somebody to respond with when you mention that you're feeling depressed. But the reality was that it was the best thing for me to hear, because as much as I didn't want to, you know, be out in the midst of our house and doing all of these things that were not on my agenda, I realized that if I was going to serve the homeless at this point, it would be kind of impractical because there was so much need in our own home. And it was just through that woman's loving rebuke that I kind of had to get over myself. And God just started to grow new hope in me and helped me to see that there's no situation that he leads us into that can cause us to sin. There's no situation that is too much for us to bear without his help, because he gives us the grace to go through whatever he's leading us to go through. And I just started to see a strengthening happen as I wasn't able to run away or leave, but as I just was continuing to abide in God every single moment and something started happening, and I can look back now and say that all of this has been one of the best things that's ever happened, which I didn't think that at all at the beginning. So I was going to ask you...
Let me reset for a second, and then you can ask me. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking to Tiana Fries, my daughter, who's interviewing me, which is very vulnerable. I never know what's going to come out of her mouth, so let's see what she's got to ask me next.
Have there been any specific verses that have helped you through some of the more despairing moments or some of the pits that you've encountered over the last...
Yeah, there's scriptures, and one of them is Romans 5, and I'll read it. Whoops, not there. I'm sorry. Romans 5 is right here. Okay. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Hmm. So my hope is that this does change me and those that I'm around. And perseverance, wow. Now there's a word. There's the word perseverance, because I have to persevere.
And it doesn't mean sprinting.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I can't walk out. I can't walk. Okay. That's huge for me, you know, and when I think about my plan of, you know, I have dance contest and I'm was preparing for that, and I have all these things that I had going and going and going, and all of a sudden, stop. I'm not blaming God. I don't think God made this happen. I think God can be glorified through this circumstance. And I think that maybe people said, well, maybe God's trying to tell you something, Sue. Maybe God's trying to tell you that you need to slow down. You need to be still and know that I am God. And yes, okay, I go with that. I think, yes, he allowed this to happen because he wanted me to refocus.
And pain is a megaphone for deaf people.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, and I guess I needed that megaphone. I must have been really deaf because it really hurt. And it's a long, hard struggle, and I must need this time. I need this time to regroup, to refocus, and I think that's happening. And sometimes we're going through things and we don't realize through the journey exactly what lessons we're learning until we're at the other side. Like you just said something, Tiana. You said, you know, that you think this is the best thing that's ever happened. And I don't know why you're saying that, other than I have really, really, really appreciated the moments that you and I have had, mm-hmm. you know, where we've teared and we've, you know, quietly talked and just tried to, you know, express our feelings and our emotions in a way. We're going to have to break in a few seconds. So I don't want to get started on something else. But so I've just really appreciated your candidness and your honesty, and we are going to be back after this break to talk more about this. If you want to call in, we would love to hear from you. The phone number is 888-995-5552. We have so much more to talk about after the break. I'm very excited to talk more about this. So the phone number one more time is 888-995-5552, and we would love to hear from you. So before we go to break, I just want you to be thinking about something. I just want you to think about if there's been issue in your life that has changed things for you.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
My daughter, and we're talking about how I was bucked off a horse. I broke my leg, actually shattered my leg. I've got a plate and 10 pins in my leg, and I've got a brace on, and I've got this huge, huge incision. And it's really ugly, but that's okay. We're talking about the life lessons that are being learned, and it's not just my life lessons. It's our whole family and people that I interact with. It affects so many people when something happens like this. And I was talking to Tiana a little bit about this also. I was talking to her about, you know, the root. When we were discussing things, we were talking about the root and how you know, I had this injury, this break in my leg, and they had to go in, and it took 2.5 hours and 2 surgeons, and they had to put my leg back together again. And the doctor said, by looking at x-rays, that I needed a knee replacement anyway because I had knee against knee, bone against bone. And he says, but I can't do that right now because I have nothing to work with. You have no bone on your lower leg. And so they couldn't do the knee replacement, which would have been an hour surgery versus a 2.5 hour surgery. But after all of this rehab and all of this stuff that I have to go through, he's telling me that 2 years from now, I'm going to have a knee replacement, which means I'm going to have to go through this all over again, but not exactly the same. I'm going to be more equipped now. Having a wheelchair and having a walker is kind of a nice thing to do and have when you're going through these things. When I saw walkers and whatnot, I never considered me having one. And I have to tell you, it's really opened my eyes, my perspective on life, looking at it from a different level just looking at perspective of life, looking at it differently. For instance, Tiana goes, well, what do you mean by that, Mom? And I'm like, well, let me just tell you. I went to Costco the other day, and I was in my wheelchair, and they have this little pull-out thing that you pull out that's at the level of a wheelchair, not something I would ever see walking with my 2 feet. And they've got this thing that comes out so you can sign your check. And she goes, well, it's just right there. And I'm like, where? And I'm like, isn't that cool? They've just got all these little extra little things, but I will tell you, the doors in the female bathroom are too heavy. They're too heavy, and that needs to be changed. So, Tiana, welcome back.
Thank you.
And so where do you want to go now? You're the interviewee.
Well, you started to talk about how Romans 5 had encouraged you just in some of the deeper pits, and you were talking about pain and just there's purpose in your pain and how that's been very significant because you can look at your circumstances and see nothing but despair in your circumstances because when the doctor told you, you may never be able to do what you could do before. And to let that settle in is devastating.
Very.
And I've seen that just completely change your whole countenance, you know, when you're listening to that and trying to anticipate what life is going to be like because it's a new reality. A new reality is set in.
Right.
And so we were going to talk about just what faith is.
Right. Before we go to faith, I'm going to go there. But we were talking earlier about my sayings that get me through about where there's a will, there's a way. I have been so much where there's a will, there's a way. And I've had this belief in my head since I was 3. Mm. Where there's a will, there's a way. And get her done. Just get her done. Where there's a will, there's a way. You just got to find the will. You have the will, so find the way. Mm-hmm. And the new reality is that no matter how much will I have, that does not mean I'm going to dance. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean I'm going to dance the way I danced before. Mm-hmm. I want to, in my heart of hearts and in my total depth of my being and belief system, I am picturing me dancing better than ever. And I'm picturing me doing more than I've ever done before. Mm-hmm. And it's got a whole new meaning to it now because of the trials, perseverance that I've had to go through to get there. Mm-hmm. It's going to have a whole new reality, but a whole new appreciation for mm-hmm. that whole thing. But what if? What if I can't do that? Mm-hmm. What if? And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's faith. That's where faith comes in, mm-hmm. is that I have to understand and believe that my whole purpose in this world is for God's will, not mm-hmm. mine. And if his will is for me not to dance, which makes me cry.
Yep, I know. It makes me cry for you.
But if his will is for me not to do that, then I'm going to be okay because I'm going to be doing his will.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea where that's going. Uh-huh. And that's not what I want. That's right. Not what I want. Because yeah. I want to dance. Life is a dance to me. Mm-hmm. Everything in my life is a dance. So why would God take that away? Unless he had something better.
He does.
Right? Unless he had something does. Better.
He absolutely does.
So I don't know if that's where you wanted to go with that. The other one that I always say is no pain, no gain. Okay, that's another one that I always say. No pain, no gain, you know. When you work out, right? If you work out, you're working out because you want something to happen. You want to get, you know, whatever your reasons are for working out. It's to be healthier, I'm hoping. But, you know, whatever it is. And when I'm sore, I'm thinking, cool, I must have done something. Something's happening because mm-hmm. I'm sore, mm-hmm. you know?
And something that's difficult with that, when you apply that to where you're at now and where I believe many people are at right now, is our faith is not in wishful thinking. Not that we say, when it comes to biblical hope, you know, and what we are placing our faith in, it has little to do with us mustering up enough faith, you know, to believe in God, but it has everything to do with God's character. And because God's faithful, and because all throughout Scripture we see that God is completely faithful to all of the things that he promises, and it's only because of who he is that we can rest with complete, settled confidence in his promises. And that's something that, especially in the midst of trying situations where nothing seems hopeful in your circumstances, that you can rest in knowing that God has a purpose to make you more like Christ and to experience more of his sufferings and to build character. James 1 talks all about that, about considering it pure joy when you encounter trials of various kinds, knowing that it's the testing of your faith and it's producing perseverance, and that you're being made more mature and complete so that you're not lacking anything. And I remember one of the things that you said to me today was, you feel incomplete. You feel like less than. You feel like you're missing something because of your leg. And I just brought you to Colossians and I said, that's completely false. That's not what God says about you. That God says that we find completeness in him and we are complete in Christ with everything that we need in him. And how many people go around life looking for something to satisfy them, and they continue to drink from broken cisterns. And God is just saying, come to me all who are weary, and I will give you rest for your souls. And that's the thing, that not just for people who are not following Christ or putting their hope in him, but day by day, as you are even a believer, we need to make sure that the thing that we seek refuge in is only Christ. And it's not, as soon as this happens, then I'll be happy. As long as this happens, then I will be satisfied or I'll feel safe. Because if any of those things are not God, we're just doomed to have our expectations shattered and just our hopes crushed, because we're not placing our hope in what God has promised absolutely.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. Phone number 888-995-5552 if you'd like to call in. I'm talking to my daughter, Tiana Fries, and she's interviewing me, and we're having a dialogue. It's really nice. I'm enjoying this so much. Another thing that I, when sitting on my couch, just sitting there. Mm-hmm. I'm doing exercises all the time, and I think that's there's a relation here too. You know, all these lessons, it's like, what is it that I'm doing? For instance, you know, the surgeon, he fixed the leg, but even though he fixed the leg, because God is the ultimate healer and everything, there's things that I need to do. And even if, you know, the surgeon did everything he was supposed to do and I do everything I'm supposed to do, I'm not sure that everything is going to be just right, because mm-hmm. there's things that are unknown, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's such a great example of every time that we try to just put Band-Aids on things
right.
that are deep-rooted heart issues, that we can continue to move locations. I moved to Italy. Okay,
right.
I escaped
right.
my situation, but unfortunately, my heart followed me.
That's right.
And unfortunately, the bitterness followed me and the hopelessness followed me there. And it's amazing when God does do a work in our hearts that we can go into any situation and we don't ever have to run away from anything, because we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we can be content in all circumstances, as Philippians 4 talks about if you're weak or if you're strong or if you're well-fed or hungry or rich or poor. Paul said that he learned to be content in all circumstances. And that's something that we can glean so much wisdom from. But that contentment does not come from our circumstances. That contentment completely comes in a firm-rooted trust in God's faithfulness in our lives to bring us through those times and to be our all-in-all and completely sufficient for everything that we need.
The lesson that I was going with as far as the exercise and everything, Tiana, was about, you know, you have to exercise every day, and it's a daily commitment I'm making to myself, because my goal, you know, run for the prize, is that I want to get strength in my leg. I want to be better each day. People say, how are you doing? And I say, I'm getting better every day. And that goes along, the relation is that with the word, is that we need to do that every day. It's a pursuit. I have a pursuit that I want my leg back completely, 100%. Mm-hmm. That's one of my pursuits. Physically, I want to be back and maybe better than ever. And in order to do that, there are things that I need to do every day. And something God wants us to do every single day is pursue Him. And I'm pursuing healing in my leg, but there's other things that we need to pursue. There's a spiritual side, an emotional side, and a physical side. And all three of those sides all three of those things need to be addressed every day. So spiritually, ask yourself the question, what are we doing spiritually to make us more, to make us better, to be more like God? Physically, are there things that we could be doing that could be more like Christ? For instance, people that eat, they eat and eat and eat. Physically, is that the best thing for them to do? Physically, if they're drinking alcohol because they've got this root inside and they haven't had the healing, they haven't taken the time to really figure out where that's coming from. I know I went through in 92, Tiana, you were so young then, and I remember you coming to visit me a couple times and drawing little pictures, and you had no idea what Mom was doing or what was going on with her. And I was gone for 21 days, and I can just imagine what was going on with you during that time. But during that time, God was doing a good work in me to where I was being able to deal with those roots, those things that are just deep in, like you were saying about your childhood and how there were these things and you couldn't get away from you. Well, I couldn't get away from me either, and I can remember that I tried to leave home and go to college and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? I tried to escape, same thing. I tried to do the same thing, but I couldn't run away from me. Mm-hmm. And how many of us listening, we try to run away. And the other thing is the home life. Okay, my home life has not been good. It hasn't been good for a really, really, really long time. I put on a show that it's, you know, I try to put on this mask to say it's all good, but it's not. And Tiana, you're saying it's not. It hasn't been. Okay, so that's the real thing.
And I've been a contributing factor. I haven't been just a victim. I haven't responded perfectly at all.
Well, none of us have. None of us have. But, okay, it's nice that we can be vulnerable and honest about all of that. And move forward, because, you know, there's when you identify a situation, identify a problem, that's the first step. They say that an alcoholic, what do they have to do first? Before they can get help, they have to admit they got a problem, right? So hey. The first thing that people need to do when they've got something going on inside of them is realize they've got something going on inside mm-hmm. of them, and it's not something they can run away from. Mm-hmm. Another thing I was doing is, because I couldn't fix my home life, I was focusing on work,
uh-huh.
and I was being busy, busy, busy in business.
Right.
Because I didn't want to focus on my home life because there was nothing I could do to fix it.
And we had such a great conversation that was, it seemed to be, it just shed a lot of light on things that were going on. And as we were talking, I realized how I, in that busyness, in you just being so much of an achiever outside in business and all these different things, I felt like I didn't have quality time with you. And even you mentioned, being the mom for
Awana
or
and the art.
Soccer mom or, great works of art, being in the classroom. And I told you, Mom, none of that stuff mattered to me. And that was kind of shocking to you at first.
Absolutely shocking to me.
And I remember
I felt I was sacrificing and being there for you.
And I remember too, you saying, well, what about that time when I took you to, took off work and took you to Magic Mountain? And what I remember from that was I got my mom and her cell phone, which meant I got my mom and her whole business with me, and which meant I didn't really have your undivided attention. And I'm in no way saying I'm this poor deprived child that's a victim that was neglected. I was so loved. But we look back and I realize that I had developed a response pattern to you, and even in God showing me my need to forgive you because it was hurting me to be angry about everything that was happening, he showed me that I had developed this response pattern of self-protection and my own busyness. And I was following the same footsteps of I need to be busy and I don't want to give my mom my quality time. So I realized that in the midst of taking care of you, I would do all the meals and I would clean the house or do laundry and all those things. And it required less of me than spending quality time with you, because that was the most difficult, most vulnerable thing. And even as we talked through that, I still didn't have bitterness toward you anymore, because God completely was just, I had nothing else, no more anger and unforgiveness. But I didn't realize that as you rebuild a relationship and you do forgive, you can't have the same relationship. It needs to be rooted out, going along with the theme of us talking about the root issues of things. It needed to be rooted out and a new relationship needed to start forming. And I tried to do that with quality time, but I didn't realize all of the little intricacies that were going on in that. And it was me being self-protective and not loving you as I should.
Right. And I felt that. I felt the distance, and I wanted so badly to have a close relationship with my one and only daughter. And so I longed for that, but I didn't know how to get it. And in this whole thing, if this, Tiana, just so you know, if this leg happened just to recreate our relationship to where we can have a wonderful mother-daughter relationship, then I have to tell you, it's worth it. It's worth every second of the pain and suffering. So I just want you to know that.
Aww. I love you.
I love you too. The other thing is that I always tell parents to be present. And that was the shocker when you were sitting on the floor while I was on my bed. I remember this. It'll just precious moments. But you were sitting on my floor talking to me. And I actually had someplace to go.
Yep.
And my calendar, Tiana jokes
about
this. We both had someplace to go. I mean, we were like, I was an hour and a half late.
Yep.
But there was nothing more important to me than you. And there never has been anything more important other than, the Lord. But my kids were precious to me. It was a shock when you said that you didn't have my time. Because I tell parents all the time, be present, completely present for your children. And what does that look like? And I thought I was. I totally thought I was present for you. Did homework every night with you. Picked you up from school every day. Every single day I was with you. So I just didn't understand it, but now I do. I get it. I get it. And I'm sorry, sweetie.
I'm sorry too. I am.
But you know what? The other thing is, we can't look back. We can learn from the past, but we can't stay in the past. We have to go from this point forward and go forward and move forward, because we have today and we have tomorrow. Yesterday is a memory. So for those listening, don't beat yourself up. I'm not going to beat myself up. I did the best I could. And parents out there, I know you're doing the best you can. And if you're not, start. But don't beat yourself up. What has already happened has happened. All you can do is go forward.
And I would talk to the kids and any children. Everyone's a child. And just any time that you have bitterness against your parents, I'm the first to admit that that's something that I've carried around for so much of my life. That's been such unnecessary baggage for me. And anger can be the most deceptive, blinding thing that you're the last person. I was the last person to know that I had any bitterness in me. And when God revealed that to me, I was broken. And I just was realizing not only was I angry with my parents, I was also sinning against a holy God. And just him showing me that and repenting and changing of that, I feel freedom that I don't need to move to a different country. I don't need to, I can completely just establish roots. I can be around my parents and love them and appreciate them for who they are and not carry that into every other relationship that really just poisons everything. And so I would just encourage people to really check yourself, examine yourself and see, you know, if I've been forgiven of all of my sins are greater. And if I've been forgiven, who am I to not show that same forgiveness to others? And that is a complete miraculous gift that God gives us, the freedom to forgive others. And he supplies the power to do that, because I couldn't do that in my own strength.
I learned a long time ago that sometimes you don't feel in your heart that you want to forgive somebody, but the first thing you have to do in your head is make a decision to forgive. And you just choose to forgive, and then the heart will follow. But you just make a decision today that you're going to forgive that person. And sometimes that forgiveness doesn't happen right like that. It's something that takes time. So you just have to remind yourself all the time, I forgive, and it'll be gone.
And it's not a feeling, it's a choice.
It's a choice. It's
and
a choice.
And the same thing with love.
That's right. That's right. Hebrews 11, we were talking about faith. And I'm just going to read the scripture. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And I equate that to the wind somewhat.
I was the thing that I love about that passage with regard to some of the things that are going on in our lives right now is just that sometimes God is developing roots in us, and it's painful because it is that he is the divine surgeon, and he's not going to just put a band-aid on things. He wants to redeem every part of us. And, we can try to run away from that, but as we go to him to heal us, there's something that takes place, and sometimes we don't see what's happening. And it's, you can go day in and day out wondering if anything's happening and not seeing anything, but we realize that the roots are being formed. And as he develops those roots, they're not going to be seen until trials come. And I love this passage in Jeremiah 17 that says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes." And I just love that even as God is just going to the roots of things that are hurts and unforgiveness, bitterness, and all these things, he is developing something that the fruit will come later, but it's really important to have the roots firm in Christ.
That's like the tree that's firmly planted, mm-hmm. having that strong foundation so mm-hmm. that when the wind blows, you're not going to be, just blown all over the place, but you're going to stand firm mm-hmm. and your firmness is on your belief and trust and knowing that God is with you mm-hmm. and that he loves you and that he's going to guide your every step. We have 2 minutes left, Tiana. So in summation, how would you like to summarize this?
I would just like to speak to anybody that is out there that is frustrated and has been drinking from broken cisterns, and just as I have been disappointed and feel just anybody that's feeling hopeless and has turned to so many different things to satisfy them, and everything seems to be a chasing after the wind, just vanity. And I would just like to speak to that person and tell you that there is hope, and the hope is not going to be found in your own strength to get you through your situation. It's not going to be from your own mind and from you solving your own problem. but it's really through the forgiveness of your sins. And that's only found in placing your hope in Jesus Christ and in what he has accomplished in his life and his death and his resurrection. And his resurrection is so important because we are so hopeless without him. And if he wasn't raised from the dead, then we still are in our sins and we still do not have freedom and new life. And we wouldn't be new creatures in him. And I just want to offer that hope to anybody who's out there that needs to reach out and put their hope in Christ.
You've been listening to the Sue Free Show. Until next week, thank you and God bless.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.